Hi everybody! I wanted to give you a quick update on our Kickstarter. We have successfully reached our goal, but we still have just under 2 weeks to fund, so we have plenty of stretch goals that we would love for you to come and check out and still support us. You can find that at tinyurl.com/nerdpopkick, and it'll be also in the show notes. Hopefully we'll get to hit all of our stretch goals and have to find out some new ones. And we look forward to having your support. Talk to you guys real soon.
Button your brain, you're in the nerd's domain. Come on in, it's about to begin.
Hi everybody, and welcome to the Nerd's Domain Podcast. I'm here with Shirley.
Hello.
And we also have two special guests, Shirley's son Alex.
Hi.
Who will be speaking louder than that. That's okay. And Nikki, who is from the Game Paradise. What is it, the One Gamer's Opinion?
Yeah, One Gamer's Opinion is the name of our blog. We've been running it since about 2007, I think, is when we started that. And I'm also the owner of Game Paradise, which is a wonderful tie-in. It's a nice board game library in Fountain Square.
And as you, our listeners, are hopefully aware, because they've probably heard me say this a couple times, every Thursday, if you're in Indianapolis, come down to Fountain Square, and I'm teaching games, along with Shirley, who does a lot of help destroying me in those games while we play. She also helps teach games when we have the time. And we are out down here every Thursday teaching something, and we'd love to have you down. If you are curious as to what we're teaching or what else is going on in Game Paradise, you can go to our website, and on the right-hand side there should be a Want to Play Games with Us? Come here, and it will show you the two Google calendars we've set up, one for Game Paradise and one specifically for us. So today we're talking about board games. Yay! So, let's start with Nikki, since you are the expert here, and Shirley and I are just amateurs compared to you. What got you into board games?
Oh, well, goodness. So, in 2003, I moved to Minnesota, and it is a wonderful state to live in for about the 2 weeks of warm that is the summer. And the rest of the time, it's snowy and miserable, and you stay indoors, and you try not to think about the fact that you're in Minnesota. And so me and my husband at the time were up there, and we didn't really know a lot of people, and we didn't have a lot of money, and that led perfectly into board games. We had, I think, Risk in our collection, and Monopoly, and Chess, and Othello, and I think that was it for the start. That was the start of the game library.
And that was in 2003, you said?
In 2003, we moved up there, so it was 2003, 2004, somewhere in that time frame that we decided to start playing board games for something to do together.
So what was your first non-mainstream game that you got?
Oh, see, the one that really sticks out, and I'm not 100% sure that it was the first, though, was Settlers of Catan.
Oh.
That's a good start for most everybody. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that was everybody's crack when they first got in. And we played the heck out of that game. But see, that's the one that stands out, because that was the one that made us go, oh my god, this is fantastic. But I'm not sure that was the first, because we played a lot of two-player games. So I'm trying to think what else we played during that time. Pretty much anything two-player that you could possibly think of hit our repertoire at some point. Suro was in there. We did a lot of Suro. Lots of two-player games.
Okay. Shirley, how did you get into games? You gonna blame that all on me?
No, actually I'm gonna blame it on my father.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
The game that I grew up on was Risk. Like every Thanksgiving or holiday.
I'm sorry.
I still love Risk.
I really like it. It's a great strategy game in that everybody wipes me off the board first, but it's a lot of fun just to like see the competitiveness. Alex, like, that's what, you know, that's his first board game, or Monopoly.
No,
we used to play a lot of Monopoly Risk.
Yeah, I used to.
Monopoly, and then 5 years ago, I met Matt, and, like, he took me to Gen Con, and I didn't want to leave. I was like, there's this game and this game. Oh, my gosh, what about this game? And we found Formula D, which Alex likes, racing and cars and stuff like that. So that kind of fit into our, like, the things that we liked at home. So we went ahead and got that. And was that, like, Settlers of Catan? No.
We waited a while to get Settlers, yeah.
Yeah, but didn't we know somebody that played it?
Maybe.
because I remember that you brought it one time, and then we played it.
Yeah, I may have bought it.
That was before we got Formula D.
Yeah, I think I picked that up at one of the other local game stores. So I started with Risk also. My dad used to go on Friday nights to hang out with his friends from church, and they would play Risk until the wee hours in the morning. And at about 12, he finally let me start playing. And so we played a lot of Risk, a lot. I can't honestly say what was next. I remember playing Suro, which I love Suro. But that's really where it started. A couple of years ago, I came over for Thanksgiving to Shirley's, and Alex is like, we're going to play Risk, and we're going to play hardcore. And I'm like, hardcore?
I don't know.
He's like, yeah, no holds barred, like, kill everybody, don't hold anything back. And I'm like, oh, okay, I mean, that's how I play, but sure, I might have gone easy, but I'll play hard. Six rounds later, the game was over, and I won.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
because Alex and his brother had picked at each other and had picked at Shirley and left me alone, and I went from Europe to America to North America to South America to the rest of the board. And that was it.
Yeah.
Game over.
Yeah,
wiped us out. And like my oldest son Christopher, I don't think he ever wants to play games with us anymore.
Yeah, so. I came home one night while they had a family Thanksgiving, and they're all playing, and it was getting brutal. Like between the family. So
it's crazy.
Yeah.
I think that's our bad holiday thing.
Yeah.
Like we play Risk and get angry and then, you know, the game's over and fine. So everything's fine.
Then we're all fine after the game.
Yeah. So Alex, you like Formula D.
Yes.
What else do you like?
I like Risk. I played a game, it's like Candyland but with chutes and ladders.
Shooting ladders.
Yes.
Shooting ladders. Yeah.
You have these foam guns, and you either get to pick who you want to shoot or...
That's a different game.
That's cashing guns.
Yeah, it's cashing guns.
That okay, one. That's the one.
Which is not like Candyland at all.
Not
like
it's,
but you're
you
played shooting ladders.
Yeah, we did also play shooting ladders.
Is so that you like, the gingerbread really band one?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
The shooting ladders is shoots and ladders with gingerbread men and machine guns.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
it was really fun. Played a lot of Formula D.
Like Kings of Tokyo? Like
yes.
Kings of Tokyo. From Yellow.
Iello?
It's IELLO. It's French, it's yellow. They told us that at Gen Con.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They were very clear.
I've been mispronouncing it for years.
Yeah, so had we.
You're like, So, what else have we played? Did you like Lords of Waterdeep?
It was okay.
Yeah. You liked, really get into you it. Like Ticket to Ride?
Yes.
Ticket to Ride's a good one.
Oh,
I haven't played it on the board, though. I've just played it.
Yeah, honestly, devices. I haven't played it a lot on the board. I've played it maybe four times on a board. Every time we play those on either my phone or the iPad or over the internet on the phone or the iPad. So.
Yeah, I'll be bored at work and Matt's at home and I'll be like, hey, Ticket to Ride? He's like, sure. So we'll do the offline, take turns back and forth.
Really? So you guys can play together still on the iPad?
Yeah. Well, you can either.
I have my phone. He has his iPad, and I'll take my turn at work, and
it sends me a message, and it says your turn is up.
It's your turn.
And you can actually do it with a bunch of people, and you can do it with random people too. But then, like, you may wait days for turns.
So yeah, because we played with a friend Jesse, and like it took months to play just one game.
Like, dude, did you take your turn? Oh, I forgot. Well, can you do that? I know we're playing D&D right now, but take your turn for goodness' sake.
That's awesome because one of the only games I knew that you could really do that with was something called I don't remember what they called it, but it was basically Risk. Like, it had all the same rule structure as Risk. But it had that it would email you a notification when your turn was up and it would move on. So when I worked at Indiana Farm Bureau Insurance, I was a computer programmer, and the guy who sat in the cube next to me, who I believe still works there, and I'm sorry for outing you, we would play Risk with some buddies from him from Bloomington, and we would all email each other when our turn was up. And there was an online service that would handle all that.
Was this Conquer Club?
No, I don't think that was
Conquer Club is, that's what they do is Risk, but they have probably 100 different maps, and some maps have different rules.
Yeah, like okay, one is
maybe a chariot race map where you can only attack forward or to the left. That's the only options you have, so you can't attack backwards. So it's like this weird. So there's different strategies for all of these maps, and I really like that one. And there's a lot of places you can't attack across. Like it's really good. Conquer Club's really good for that. But Ticket to Ride does that. If you can play a game on a mobile device, you can do it by turns like that, by doing it over. You can also do what's called pass and play, which means I take my turn, and it says my turn is done. It's this person's turn. I hand it to them. They hit the button, and it starts their turn. So we played Lords of Waterdeep that way, too.
Okay. And see, that's kind of what I expect on a mobile device. I didn't even know you could take turns like that. Mm-hmm. But I live under a rock and in the world where we've actually been cardboard stuff.
So. There's a much larger...
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, it's also a much larger area that you can play with, because there's some stuff that we can play that we don't have expansions for yet, like for this regular stuff. And then there's stuff like the Settlers of Catan on the Xbox is a little rough. It's hard to get into. Yeah, there's one on there. Hmm. I'm going to say it's like $4-5 maybe to get it, but yeah, it's on there. So, so Shirley, what games do you really like? What's really your bread and butter when it comes to, if you're going to sit down at a table, what do you want to play?
It just depends on the mood that I'm in, but mostly I'm always up for Lords of Waterdeep. I love Lords of Waterdeep. I'm really starting to like Pixel Lincoln, and that's a new game that we tried out here at the shop.
And Pixel Lincoln is a deck-building game?
Yes.
Kind of an 8-bit side-scrolling adventure kind of Nintendo game.
Lay the cards out of what attacks you or what bonuses you get, and you take your character down the line, and once you reach the deck, that resets everything in that line, and then you build your deck up that way, and you get points by defeating the monsters.
Yep. Anything else? What else do you like to play?
I don't know. There's a lot.
Okay. So. What was the game you guys played the other night with Mark and Molly? It was a print and play game.
Haikudo, Makudo, Jakudo,
okay.
Something, Makado.
Have you played anything recently that might have a Kickstarter up right now that you want to mention?
Heroes Most Wanted.
Heroes Wanted.
Heroes Wanted?
Heroes Wanted.
Okay, Heroes Wanted, which is put out by Aesop Games.
Action Phase.
What?
I have no idea where you went for Aesop. No. Action Phase Games.
Okay, Action Phase Games. We just did the event for Indie PopCon last night. Heroes Wanted was there. Windfall and Incredibrawl.
Oh my gosh,
Incredibrawl is amazing.
Incredibrawl was really good. I don't remember the name of that company, though.
It's V3G Games. It's Vision 3 Games, so it's V3G.
Okay. Nikki, what are your go-to games? Besides Ebbs, you can talk about Ebbs.
I tend to go for the resource management style games. So Settlers of Catan is certainly on the fluffier end of resource management, but I like things like Ginkopolis. That's a little known one that I adore. It's all about building up your city, but it does it in such a way that you can either build up or build out, and there's different advantages to doing either. So that's really cool. I also really love Ebbs, which kind of falls outside of that resource management category. It is a trick-taking game. So if you like games like Euchre or Hearts or Spades, you're really likely to enjoy Ebbs. So that's E-B-B-E-S if you want to look it up online. It's made by this little bitty mom-and-pop company. They've only printed a couple hundred copies, but before you go, oh, I can't get it, they're apparently working on a reprint.
And it should be done by the end of March is what they said. So they're a German company, and they're very, very friendly, and were happy to talk to us a little bit over email about that. So we were happy to talk to them.
Yeah. Outside of that, I am the biggest fan of, don't judge me, Are You a Werewolf? That is like, if I can just sit there and play Are You a Werewolf all night long, I will do that. If you're not familiar with Are You a Werewolf, you might also know it by the name Mafia, if you're just a skosh older. It is a game where you get a hidden role. It's one card, you get that one card. And everyone sits around in a circle. At night, and you can't see, air quotes, night, everyone closes their eyes, and the werewolves wake up and pick one person they want to eat. Then everybody goes back to sleep, closes their eyes, and then during the daytime hours, also in air quotes, the moderator wakes everybody up, tells them who's been eaten, they're out of the game, and then everybody else has to talk amongst themselves about who they think the werewolves likely are, and they pick one person to lynch. It's a fantastic bluffing and deduction game. It's usually a riot, especially when you finally figure out who's been screwing you over the entire time.
And it's better for a bigger team, bigger groups, like yeah. 7, 8, 9 or more.
8 is actually the minimum that they recommend that okay. you can play with. Villages, which is what you call a game, goes all the way up to 15 with the base game. But if you include things like the Ultimate Werewolf set, which Beezer puts out, you can play up to 32 people.
Okay.
Wow.
It's a fantastic concept.
And in the 32 people, different people, there are more than just the werewolf role. There's a bunch of different stuff.
Absolutely. So the base game has werewolves and villagers, but and a seer, which lets them look at night for who they think the werewolf might be. But there's tons of other roles. There's Cupid, which makes star-crossed lovers. There's the hunter, who gets the fire last shot when he dies. There's all sorts of weird special stuff.
There's the masons that know who each other are.
Yes, the secret society of masons. Cupid tends to be the favorite in our group, because they typically, at the beginning of the game, they pick two people who are the star-crossed lovers. They don't know who each other are, but when one of them dies, the other one immediately dies of a broken heart.
Aww.
Yeah, it's super cute. But usually they pick really funny people, like, you know, two guys that they've been at odds the entire game, or something like that.
It's right on.
Too funny.
The other favorite is the Tanner. The Tanner's a fun card to play with. The tanner wins by dying. So if you don't know what a tanner is, they tan leather, and they do that with urine. Yeah, it's a pretty yucky task. So their life is so miserable that they want to die. That's the theoretical thought behind it.
Oh my
so
gosh.
If they can die by any means possible, they win, and nobody else does.
Yep.
Wow.
So it's super fun.
So for me, go-to games. I'm always, always willing to play DC Deck Builder. I love DC Deck Builder. I will play that in my sleep. I also do enjoy Lords of Waterdeep and Penny Arcade, Gamer vs. Evil.
Sentinels on the Multiverse.
I was getting there. Would you give me a second? And then Sentinels of the Multiverse, I twist arms to make people play with me a lot. Shirley has spent many a tired night sitting at the table going, really? We have to play this again? So...
People always seem strongly opinionated about that game.
I can understand because it plays the same way every time. Hypothetically, things change a little bit, but if you have the one hero, you're always going to have the hero who does that thing, and that's what he does. I love it. I love comic books, so that's what Sentinels of the Multiverse is about. So yeah. So we've mentioned a few phrases here. I'd like to discuss those. So Shirley, could you explain what a deck building game is and how it kind of works? Because you said deck building, and I want to kind of get into what that is.
Because I love WoW TCG, I kind of know what this is. Basically, what a deck building game is that you have a starting deck of 5 or about 10 cards, and you use them to accumulate more cards throughout the game by buying them from a pool, usually in the center of the table. But as you're doing that, there is a competitiveness to the game depending on what game it is. Like,
DC deck building game.
DC deck building game. You're not against each other per se, but, you still have to accumulate the most victory points by the end of the game. Same with the Lord of the Rings, Penny Arcade.
And that's different from a collectible card game like the WoW card game or Magic, because those are pre-built decks that you
those
use.
Those are decks where you have to like kill the other opponent in a one-on-one game.
Yeah, this is more of a grab some stuff. So what are deck building games? We've said DC deck building game.
There's the DC deck building game, of course. Sentinels of the Multiverse
is not a deck building game.
It's not a deck building.
No. We don't buy stuff from the middle.
Nope, you start with a deck and you play with the deck.
Yeah.
I thought we bought stuff out of the middle.
No. Uh-oh. Not with Sentinels.
Oh my gosh, that's Tachyon. Oh god. Okay.
Tachyon.
Yeah, Tachyon's the one that I play with all the time.
Oh, okay.
So, okay, got that mixed up.
So
there's Penny Arcade, DC,
Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings. We just played Nightfall.
No, we played Ascension.
Ascension.
But Nightfall is also a deck builder.
Yeah, okay. So is Thunderstone.
Thunderstone's also a deck builder. And then you're, of course, missing the big one, Dominion.
Yeah.
Dominion was the grandfather of deck building games.
Okay.
Came out in 2009. It won the Spiel des Jahres Award, which is the Oscar of German board gaming. It is...
Is that an Emmy Award? Is that what that's called?
It's kind of... Innies are like the redheaded stepchild compared to the Spiel...
Spiel des Jahres.
I mean, Spiel des Jahres is like... Like, clearly you're the best game, period.
This is
like,
how much
and these are like serious.
I don't know about the...
in Europe, wargaming can be taken a lot more serious than it is here. So,
right.
That's, it's, yeah.
Because they have that huge convention.
So, any other ones that we missed?
Oh.
Any big ones? Big ones.
There's Legendary. One. Legendary is a big one that you missed.
Whatever.
I didn't care for it. I need to give it another try, but I didn't care.
I think you should give it another try. It has more depth, I think, than the DC deck building game.
Okay.
Which DC deck building, Lord of the Rings, and Penny Arcade are all cryptozoic.
Yes, but Penny Arcade does not run on the same engine. Lord of the Rings and DC deck building, as well as Capcom Street Fighter, and there's one other in there, all run on the same basic engine.
They just retheme it
a little bit. So Cryptozoic has done a really good job of making the game easy enough to pick up and then giving it flavor. And I think they do a good job of giving each game a different flavor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
Let's see. Other ones, although I would never recommend it, the Resident Evil deck building game.
Yeah.
They did one. There's also Eaten by Zombies, which that one's a really neat one. It has some different flavor to it. I do have that one in the library.
Try that.
Eaten by Zombies, you are trying to stay alive as long as possible, and it's really, really tough. How you become a zombie is by not having enough cards in your deck. If you run out of cards, you're a zombie.
Oh, wow.
And every time you have a run-in with zombies that doesn't go in your favor, you have to trash cards out of your deck. So that's how it thins down quick. It's really, really neat. So there's that.
There's Trains.
There's Trains. Yeah, that was the big one out of Gen Con this year.
And Trains is interesting because unlike other deck building games where you're just buying cards to get points, this one you're buying cards to build train tracks and build station expansions in cities. And I think it's like this weird like step over into a different realm. And it's good. I like it. I really like it. And I will play that again, again, and again. But it's totally different in the way you do stuff.
Yeah, that one was really, really innovative. It was nice to see somebody do something a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
That one, I'm not sure if it came out of Japan or China. It was somewhere out of Asia this past couple of years, and it blew up over there, and it finally got reprinted by AEG this year for Gen Con.
Right on. So those are some deck building games. You said resource management earlier. So kind of describe what that is.
So how I typically explain resource management is if it's a game where nobody's out, so Risk isn't a resource management game, and usually can fall into just a couple hour time period, so not Monopoly where it can go on for days, those typically would be in the resource management category. They're often very strategic. They don't have a big luck factor involved with them. So Ginkopolis, which I mentioned, is resource management. Settlers of Catan is resource management, but on the lighter end because it does have that dice rolling element. But there are hundreds of them. Carcassonne is resource management.
Can you give us some examples of some more popular ones that people might know?
Am I being esoteric?
Well, I mean, Ginkopolis, like you said, nobody really knows that.
Well, that one's fair. That one's a bit esoteric.
It's a hard question, isn't it?
Yeah, Small World. Small World, a lot of people know that one, and that one would fall into the resource management category, mm-hmm. I feel, because it doesn't have that player elimination.
Same thing with Lords of Waterdeep.
Lords of Waterdeep certainly is a resource management game. We also joke that if it has little cubes, it often is resource management.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what other kind of games are there? Styles? Like?
So in the shop here, we break it down into 10 basic categories. There's luck and betting games, which is where you're going to find things like Monopoly. There's theme and humor games, where we'd put things like Munchkin.
Okay.
There's party games, things like Catchphrase, Cards Against Humanity, mm-hmm. Apples to Apples.
Spot It. We love our Spot It.
There's logic games, games where you have almost perfect knowledge of the board at all times, such as chess, checkers, that kind of thing.
Okay.
There's war games, Whether they be reenactment or not, Risk would fall into that category. Mm-hmm. But there's hundreds of others. Horus Heresy was the one you've been eyeballing that falls into that category.
Yeah, that book is bigger than I am. If the instruction booklet is bigger than I am, I really don't think I should try and play the game.
That's why he doesn't like Legendary.
Yeah. It's also the reason I need somebody else to come in and teach us Twilight Imperium.
Yeah.
Because that's hefty. Yeah, have you played it?
I've seen it played.
Because it's a resource management war game, and if you fight each other and it goes on for more than one round, you're kind of wasting your time. And it's this weird dichotomy. I played it once. It's very difficult to get into. Once you understand the rules, though, it seems pretty simple.
Good.
So.
Let's say there's also word games. Scrabble's what everyone thinks of, but my goodness, there's Tapple. That was new from USAopoly in the past couple years, and that's kind of took that line between a word game and a party game. It's very, very fun.
Bananagrams.
Bananagrams. I've heard a lot of people mention that one. Upwords. Little known fact about Upwords. Bill Clinton's favorite game.
Really?
Yep. Oh. He went on an interview and said that when he was president. Upwords.
Nice.
Yeah. There's trivia games, which everyone knows, Trivial Pursuit and the like. Although there's one that came out recently, which you may or may not be interested in, called Geek Out.
Mm-hmm.
The whole idea of Geek Out is it's all about geek categories, and it's how many can you name. So it's if it's weapons from Star Wars is the card. And I go, well, I can name three. And you go, I can name
17.
Right. Yeah, yeah. And then I go, well, I can't name more than 17. Go ahead, and you'll name them off, and if so, you get the point.
Oh, wow.
So it's a bit different.
Okay.
And then we have an other category. That's where everything else that doesn't fit someplace else falls. memory games typically fall there. Math games fall there. Such as Equate, a math game that we have. It plays like Scrabble on a board, but you're making equations instead. Which is kind of weird and fun.
Okay. Where does Timeline fall?
Timeline falls in our trivia category. So if you're not familiar with Timeline, how it works is... Everyone has a hand of five cards. They're face up on the table. On the back of that card's a date, but you're not allowed to look at that. One card goes into the center of the table, and that starts the timeline. And that goes with the date face up. And then you take one of your cards and you decide, do you think it goes to the left or the right in the timeline of the world? If you're right, it stays there. If it's wrong, it discards, and you draw another card. And the goal of the game is to get rid of all your cards first. So it's super simple. You now know all of the rules to play Timeline. But people can pick it up really, really quick.
Yep. So let's talk about getting into gaming. If you were going to suggest games, if one of our listeners doesn't know anything about board gaming beyond Risk or Monopoly, where would you start from that, Shirley? What do you think? It's kind of a tough question.
Well, no, not anymore. I mean, you go into Borders or Toys R Us anymore. Even where were we at?
GameStop today.
And they have board games. And it's not the run-of-the-mill board games. It's there was...
Lords of Waterdeep was there.
Lords of Waterdeep was there.
Had the X-Wing miniatures game.
Castle Panic was there. So if you go into any other, like... "quote unquote gaming store like GameStop or even
bookstores like Barnes and Nobles,
go back to their board game section and just take a look at the back of them, things that interest you, either strategy or family games, and pick something new that you haven't played before.
Okay.
So I think.
So anything.
Well, I mean, it just depends on what's there. I think. For me, being a simplistic player, Lords of Waterdeep was really easy for me to pick up.
Okay. What do you think?
So, for me, when I approach that question, because I get a lot of people coming to the shop who don't really play a lot of games, there's two things that I usually ask. And the first one is, well, how long do you want to sit there for? And how much time do you want to dedicate to the game? Because that can sway it bigly. The second thing is, what do you want to get out of it? If you want to just get out like a fun afternoon with the kids, co-op games. Absolutely going to point you towards co-op games. There's a lot on the market. The best one that I can think of, if you've never played before, is Forbidden Island.
Now we need to play that.
It's really easy to pick up. We kind of call it Pandemic Light. It's made by the same designer as Pandemic. So it has a lot of the same flavor and feel. But it's really simple by comparison. It's also really cheap. I believe I picked up my copy for $20, and for a not off the shelf at Walmart game, that's really darn cheap.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that would be, you know, if you want just a fun evening with family that's not real stressful, that's where I'd start you, because it's not a competitive game. You're not going to fight at the table.
Whereas Pandemic is a stressful game. You're not fighting at the table. You're trying not to die.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. It's stressful in a different way. But it's not going to, you know, come to blows over Thanksgiving. Because
mm-hmm. we play this game hardcore.
but for your question, the term that we typically use for that is gateway game.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a term that you'll kind of find in the industry. If you read other blogs, people will talk about this is or is not a gateway game. Settlers of Catan is certainly a gateway game. We mentioned that's mm-hmm. That was my first and is a lot of people's. But other great ones, Alhambra is a good gateway game. That's a set collection game. I don't recall if it won the Spiel des Jahres or if it was simply a nominee.
Okay.
And I bring up the Spiel des Jahres again because that's one of the criteria they look for. They're looking for gateway games. They're looking to bring people into the fold. So, yeah. So if you Google Spiel des Jahres online, you're going to get a whole list of fantastic gateway games.
Okay.
So Alhambra, Carcassonne's another good gateway game.
Yeah.
It's pretty right. simple to pick up. It's tile laying, so it's going to be different every single time you play the game, just based on how those tiles flip out.
And it's easy enough you can teach. I taught my 9-year-old how to play.
Yeah.
And I don't think he liked the part where he couldn't screw everybody else over, because that's what he likes to do when he plays games. But
will attack you.
But he did enjoy the game and got a lot out of it, so that one's pretty simple.
Yeah.
What about Survivor?
Survive? Mm-hmm.
Survive.
I think it could be a gateway game. The problem that I've found is like getting people to play it, because it's like nobody has it. Like, we have a copy.
Right.
I don't know anybody else that owns one. So, but Survive is put out by Stronghold, and it's really good. And it's actually a reprint of an older game. And its full title is Survive: Escape from Atlantis.
Yeah.
So.
And outside of that, I would typically ask, what do you enjoy playing? Because people typically are familiar with those American-style games, mm-hmm. Monopoly, Risk, Yahtzee. So if you come to me and you're like, I really love Yahtzee, I'm going to recommend King of Tokyo. It's dice rolling.
Oh,
you're
yeah.
trying to get those
yeah.
same set collections.
Right.
But it's by far a superior game to Yahtzee. There's like some clear, defined lines that you can go, oh, you like this, you're going to love this. So in place of, well, Yahtzee, King of Tokyo, in place of Risk, I would recommend
Game of Thrones.
No, that would not be a good gateway game. You'll hate me at the end of that. Caladia. Caladia would be an excellent one. It's a small reprint from a little bitty company whose name is also Caladia. great game, though, and super easy to pick up.
Okay. So if they like spades.
If they like spades, I'm going to put them towards ebbs. But in lieu of that, shucks. There's so many different games of that nature out there. I don't know. Get back to me on that one.
Okay.
So
there are plenty of games out there that you would suggest.
Oh, my goodness.
Suro is a pretty simple game.
Absolutely.
And then Suro the Sea is a little more complicated, but still pretty simple.
Yeah. I think it adds a nice element. It adds some dragons to the board mm-hmm. that move around and can eat mm-hmm. tiles.
And makes it bigger. So it takes a little bit longer. Hypothetically. Unless third turn in, the dragon eats both of you. Because that happened to us at Gen Con.
Like, it's over already?
What if somebody came into the store and said, I really love this TV show. Do you have that board game?
Oh my goodness. Yes, probably.
But would you recommend those games?
No, typically not.
I love Spartacus on TV. It's amazing. Should I play that game?
Well, you know, Spartacus is one of those that I think falls outside of that conversation, because they did a fantastic job of making it a good game and not just a fan service.
Okay.
But typically, no, for some reason there is this disconnect between good games and strongly thematic TV games. Like, I have the Wicket the Ewok game. You might love Star Wars. It's not a good game, though. Like, there's not a lot of gameplay.
Isn't that resource in
anything? No,
that falls in theme and humor.
Yeah, that's a rolling move. I mean, it's really... But so is Oh No You Don't. Is a roll and move. But
that's
I love Oh No You Don't just because it's fun.
And that's put out by Gut Busting Games, the same folks who did Trailer Park Wars and Redneck Life.
There
Thank
you.
Jeez.
So what if I liked, I don't know, Game of Thrones? Would you suggest the Game of Thrones board game?
The Game of Thrones board game. So I love it.
Okay.
I think it's a fantastic game. They did a great job with it. That would really depend on your level of gaming.
Okay.
If you're coming in and saying, I love Yahtzee and I love Game of Thrones, I'm going to go, no, that's not the game for you. Because clearly you are not at that level of gamer. Because Game of Thrones takes about 4 hours if you know what you're doing. Mm-hmm. If you don't know what you're doing and you have to read through the 40-page rule book, you're going to be there all night.
So on games like that, you would suggest somebody, one person at the table that can teach.
Absolutely.
And almost all games go better with one person at the table can teach.
That's very, very true. Which I'm going to plug. That's one of the great things about coming down here on Thursdays with you guys is you can learn games or just come down here in general because often I or one of my staff is here and we know how to play a lot of the games down here. I won't say all of them, but a lot and can teach.
What if I came in and said, I love Firefly?
Oh, I have such a love-hate relationship with that game. So Firefly was put out by Gale Force 9 last Gen Con. It sold out in a heartbeat. I was worried it was going to be a terrible game because it's a TV game.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's not a terrible game. It's just not a good game. There's not a lot of player interaction. The game takes 4+ hours, although the box completely lies because it says it's only going to take 2.
Yeah, that box is a liar.
It's a terrible liar. I don't know what they were thinking. And it moves kind of slow. It also takes a huge table. There's like 15 decks of cards and the discard piles are important. And there's the giant board. And then everybody has their own little individual player board. You need the biggest table you have in your house plus some to fit this game on.
Yeah. Yeah. We've actually run out of room at the apartment on our table. So, but it does capture the
theme. But we didn't put both of the expansions in the middle of it.
Yeah.
A little bit either. You know?
Yeah.
It does capture the theme fairly well. You're certainly going to get a lot of that same flavor. So if you're a fanboy or girl of Firefly, you're likely going to have a good time because you're really going to enjoy the theme. Because you're going to have like the original cast as part of your crew. But you're also going to find all those other little side characters that you loved as part of the decks as well.
And sometimes that you'd noticed but didn't realize you noticed, and you're like, oh, that's who that is. Because we've done that several times. I think that's why Shirley and I love Firefly so much, is because we are fanboys and girls.
Right.
But if you're not a fanboy or girl, I don't think there's enough there to really capture you. Like, the gameplay isn't so amazing that you're going to overlook the fact that you don't know any of these people.
Right.
So, any other suggestions, Shirley? Anything else you suggest, like, people do?
You said Survive's not in print.
It is in print. It's just not a lot of people have it.
Not a lot of people have it. Definitely Survive, Search for Atlantis.
Escape
from Atlantis. I can never remember anything. It's that one game with those things with the wooden stuff on it.
And bears? You'd suggest bears?
Bears. Why don't you just go ahead and list all those games out?
Anything else? Go ahead. No, you're fine.
Yeah, that's all I can think of.
Okay. Any other games, Nikki?
Let's see. One of mine that stood out this past year, and it kind of goes back to the deck building category, is Puzzle Strike. Puzzle Strike comes in a hideous pink box, and I don't know what they were thinking. But it's a fantastic game. They did a remarkably good job. So what it is it's a deck building game, but it doesn't have cards, it has chips. Then it doesn't have a deck, it has a bag. But otherwise, it's a deck building game. You're buying the stuff, you put it in your bag, you shake up the bag, and you draw out of it, just like you would shuffle a deck and draw cards. So there's certainly a strong comparison there. The goal of the game is to get 10 gems on your player's mat, on your opponent's mat. You do that by shooting gems at them. Now, shooting is a relative term. You don't physically shoot them at them, but there's chips that you can play that let you take one off your board and put it on their board. Now, they have the potential to negate that by playing a chip that meets it in the air and makes them both explode, blow up, and go to the discard piles.
Nice.
It's really cool. You can play it with 2 to 4 players. As a two-player game, it's extremely strategic and amazing. I love it. As a four-player game, it gets a little bit more chaotic, but if you don't mind that, it's still a remarkably amazing game. But don't let the box art throw you off, because it looks really cartoony, it's in a bright pink box, and I have so many gamers pass it up because it doesn't look like something they'd be interested in. But it's awesome.
Okay.
Check that one out.
Alex, any other games that you want to mention?
Cash and Guns.
Cash and Guns.
I really
like Cash and Guns.
Caught my eye, and
do we need to play that? Do we need to play that before we leave?
Yes.
Okay.
So if you're a video gamer, what kind of video games do you like?
I mostly play the new GTA 5.
That's Grand Theft Auto 5, for those of us that don't know that.
And Call of Duty Ghost. The graphics have grown so much from the past Call of Duty. Same with Grand Theft Auto and...
You get better resolution.
Yeah. You get better resolution. You have so much, like, more to do.
In terms of,
like...
Being able to action cars. Which game are you talking about? I know you said that you had more maps on your Call of Duty.
There are a lot of maps. There are different downloads. The... Noobs, Christmas noobs, have a camo with, it's like a Christmas wrap for your gun and a,
So what's a noob?
A noob is like somebody that just got the game.
Oh, okay.
And why are they Christmas noobs?
Because they got it at Christmas.
So you're a Christmas noob?
Okay. I was a Christmas noob.
Okay.
I got it at Christmas.
Got it.
Sorry, you have to talk down to us adults, because we don't know what's, us old folk don't know what you're talking about.
So I guess that brings about, you know, since we're talking about board games, what appeal does board games, if any, have for a younger crowd who's wanting to play video games? Because video games, I don't know how many calls I get a day going, do you sell the PS3 here? No, we're board games. What appeal does board games have, if any, for a young person today?
That's a good question. Me, myself, I would rather play a video game than a board game unless, like, I'm with family. I would rather play, like, something quick and, like, Call of Duty. You have, like, either 10-second respawn, and you get right back into the game. If you want to, like, wait, then a board game would be good for you because you can wait your turn. And
a really quick board game.
Yeah.
To get back in there.
Like Kings of Tokyo, they go pretty quick, right?
Yeah.
That you like that.
Yeah.
And I think Cash and Guns is pretty quick.
Yeah. So it sounds like games that where you're constantly involved, mm-hmm. or where there's not a big wait time between turns, is what appeals to the younger audience.
Yeah. We need to get him to play the game that Mark had with the catapults and the dice.
Kaboom. You're building on these tiles these little structures out of what looks like Tinker Toys, mm-hmm. and the other players have these little flip levers, and they have dice, and they shoot their dice with the little flip levers at your castle trying to destroy it. And it's all done simultaneously. I'm building as fast as I can while you're shooting dice as fast as you can in hopes of knocking it all over.
I think you'd really enjoy Kaboom. We had a lot of fun with that. Well, I think that'll do us today. You should check out our Kickstarter because it's still going. We have reached our goal, but we have some stretch goals that we need to hit. We really would love to hit to get a second table, to print some more swag. And there's going to be on the 3rd of March, which may have already passed if you're listening to this late. Hello, future people. In the 3rd of March, we may be revealing a secret stretch goal that will come before all other stretch goals that have ever stretched before. So you should check that out. You should check out Indie PopCon. Indie PopCon's coming up in Indianapolis, and you can use our promo code. It's MQUI, and that will help us out a little bit and get us some stuff for Indie PopCon, and we would love that. You can always check out Nikki's blog, One Gamer's Opinion, and that is, what's the web address for
If you go to GameParadiseStore.com, you'll see it linked at the top.
Okay. And then you can also check out Nikki's Facebook page at Game Paradise.
Yeah, it's Facebook.com/GameParadise.
And there's also a group called Gamers in Paradise.
Yes, there's a group page called Gamers in Paradise, which you'll just have to search for. There's no nice URL for it.
You can find it also by going to our Facebook page. See how I tied that all in. And follow from there, because we're friends. We like that, too. What did I miss? Oh, follow us on Twitter at NerdsDomain. Shirley's at SNet70. I'm at Quiet. You have one.
Yep, we're at Game Paradise.
And there you go. And I think that will do us for tonight.